Hello, and welcome to the Better, Faster, Cheaper Ideas podcast. My name is Vivek Kuchibotla, and I'm the founder of BFC Ideas, a consultancy focused on helping marketers and agencies improve their performance. This podcast aims to spur change one issue at a time. It's made up of tips, insights, musings, and hard truths that are the product of having spent 20 years delivering workshops on creative thinking and its applications, selling skills, account management, and new business. These workshops have been given to agencies and advertisers in over 15 countries in English y en español. Today's podcast is called The Four Typical Client Profiles and How to Sell to Them, Part 1. They say that all men and women are created equal. Unfortunately, all clients are not. The good news is that it's not too difficult to understand clients and how to sell to them once you identify the four typical client profiles. I'm not talking about selling any old idea through. I'm referring to selling great, game-changing ideas, the ones that make brands and agencies famous. Before I get into profiling these clients, I want to let my listeners know that I will be exaggerating to illustrate specific points. No one needs to feel offended by any of the depictions. I kid because I care. Also, the profiles are not meant to be 100% accurate, but they do clearly reflect the majority of cases. So here we go. The first one is the classical packaged goods marketer. These clients are trained in packaged goods companies like Procter & Gamble, Unilever, PepsiCo, Nestle, and Colgate-Palmolive. These companies tend to hire marketing trainees straight out of university. They're very smart and highly motivated. They graduate from the best schools and are high achievers. They're accustomed to competing academically and have a proven record of excellence. They're the best of the best, the cream of the crop. I know, because I used to be one of them. Many years ago, I was hired as a marketing trainee in Unilever, and I'll share a personal anecdote to provide some perspective. I came into the company along with four other trainees. On our first day, our first meeting was with the president of the company. He told us that he wanted to meet us, he wanted to welcome us to Unilever, and he wanted to remind us that we were future general managers. He expected only the best from us. Wow. This made me look at my career as being predestined. I was all of 23, and I was being told by the president of this company that I was one of the chosen ones. Back to the story. Once they arrive at P&G or Unilever, they, like I was, are made to understand that they're the future general managers, and they firmly believe it. They carefully map out their career so that in X number of years, they will make it to a marketing director position, and in a few years after that, they will be a general manager. This is the big goal, and this will drive their actions and their decision-making. If for some reason they don't get to the position they want at this company, they'll find it at another one, but they will get there. As soon as this client starts on his first project, he's made to understand that he is line management and will be held accountable for results. He'll start out managing the promotions budget, a small budget, and will be asked to deliver results within that budget. As his level of experience grows and if he consistently delivers results, he'll increase his level of responsibility and be assigned other elements of the profit and loss statement. If he doesn't deliver results, he won't move up the ladder. And in these environments, if you're not moving up, you soon will be moved out. This client is expected to work effectively with the agency. However, I've said this before, nothing that he learned at school prepared him for it. The best business schools in the world do not have courses on writing inspiring briefs or in evaluating creative work or in critiquing a media connections plan. So he has to figure it out on the fly, relying on what he can observe from more senior members and from whatever internal training programs exist within the company. Unfortunately, most companies don't have good advertising and media training programs. They actually rely on the agency to do it for them. So our friend has to figure it out on his own. What makes this experience especially difficult is the fact that as the, quote, future general manager, he's constantly in the spotlight. He's expected to have a smart opinion in every presentation, and he's the first one called on to speak. He doesn't have the benefit of listening to other people shape the discussion. He'll have to make the first comment on the work in the presence of two or three of his bosses. And he's aware that they're watching him and they are evaluating him. Therefore, it's not surprising that while his comments sound smart, they are, from the agency's perspective, often hard to decipher and on the fence. He said a lot without saying anything. As he gains experience, he'll hopefully improve his ability to evaluate work and provide actionable feedback. So what's the best way to sell to him? Remember, his key motivator is his career. His career will move ahead if he's able to produce results and, importantly, show that the results were due to his foresight, his guidance, and his leadership. Remember, he's competing with his peers to move up, and the pyramid gets thinner and thinner at the top. He doesn't like taking risks and is looking for the option that provides the highest upside combined with the lowest downside. Trying to challenge him and goad him into taking risks does not work. Talking about, quote, bravery is offensive, especially when all the risk is on his shoulders. It only makes him lose trust in the agency as a partner. To successfully sell to him, the agency must understand what he is trying to achieve. Is it about accelerating the curve of a growing brand? Does he need to turn the business around to make his mark? The agency must also understand which direction the client's bosses are pushing in. Our client will seldom ignore guidance from the people he depends on for career advancement. This is a no-brainer, guys. Don't criticize him for this. You, agency maverick, behave in exactly the same way. So once the agency has done its homework, they'll be able to sell their great solution if they serve it up as the best and safest way to help the client achieve his objectives. Not as a risk, but as a no-brainer way to continue his upward progress. This will come with the added benefit that the client will regard the agency as a partner in building his brand and his career. As he moves up the ladder, he'll give the agency more business. The second typical client profile is the marketing communications person in a non-marketing driven corporation. She can be found at companies where the marketing function is not a core competence. Think McDonald's, where the operations people run the company, not the marketers. Or Boeing, where the engineers will certainly have the upper hand, not the marketers. Or Citibank, where the bankers will undoubtedly run the show, not the marketers. Companies that are not marketing driven are geared to hire a different type of college graduate and to have to source their advertising know-how from outside the company. Advertising is not what they're experts at. Said in another way, and unlike the Procter & Gambles of the world, the marketing communications person is never going to run this company. Her job is to oversee the communications area, which will include advertising, media planning and buying, and social media. So where do these companies look to staff the MarCom position? They'll find the skill set in advertising and media agencies. Sometimes they'll find it in a research agency. They'll look for people who worked on this or similar accounts so that they know the category and will ask them to take the golden leap to the client side. It's important to note that for many agency people, the thought of moving to the client side is initially like dying and going to heaven. Imagine having the power to say yes or no, to be wined and dined and treated with consideration and respect. They also feel that they know how the agency really works, so they'll be able to do a good job at managing them. What they find when they become clients often does not live up to the dream. They're at the bottom of the corporate totem pole, and the real decision-making power lies elsewhere, often with people who regard the advertising function with some suspicion, even disdain. So instead of being able to give the agency a firm yes, they find that they have to internally sell the agency's work to the powers that be. If the real decision makers like the work, the MarCom person will get credit for it. If they don't, the heat is on her. According to the 4A's, in 2019, the average CMO tenure is 43 months. It's a tough job, and staying employed is not easy. So the real insight here is that, unlike the packaged goods marketer whose focus is his career, the MarComs person's focus is on her position. She's now on the client side and wants to stay there. And if this means shifting blame to the agency, so be it. Also, since she was hired from an agency and is not in the inner circle of the company, she doesn't want to be seen as a double agent who is soft on the agency. So to counteract this perception, she'll make sure that she is seen as very demanding with the agency. One additional issue can make this type of client difficult to deal with. Remember, they're now the client with a capital C, and they're reluctant to let the agency know that they don't have much decision-making power. To cover up this lack of power, they'll seldom tell the agency what really happened with the work and why it was not approved, just that it needs to be changed. Within this information void, deciphering the real concerns with the work can often be confusing, and this leads to unnecessary rounds of rework. This can create an environment with increased pressure, quick turnarounds, and a difficult relationship. So what is the best way to sell to them? Since information flow is an issue, the agency needs to make sure that they understand exactly what the company's business objectives and challenges are and what they're trying to achieve. Once the agency is clear on this, they can make sure that the work that's presented to the MarCom client will pass all the filters placed on it by the true decision makers. And in the presentation, they need to make it very clear exactly how the work delivers on these objectives, as these are the arguments that the MarCom person will use as she presents the work to the powers that be. This will make the MarCom person look good within her company. And when she looks good, the agency will look good. I hope you found this podcast enjoyable and useful. If you did, please feel free to share it. Don't forget to follow me on LinkedIn or subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss the next episode. You can find it on all the major podcasting services. If you'd like to contact me, I can be reached via email at Vivek, V-I-V-E-K, at bfcideas.com, on Twitter, at bfcideas, or at my webpage, bfcideas.com. Thank you, and I hope you'll tune in to the next episode of the Better, Faster, Cheaper Ideas podcast.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.